Jesus said to his disciples, "Do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have come not to abolish, but to fulfill. Amen, I say to you, until heaven and earth pass away, not the smallest letter or the smallest part of a letter will pass from the law until all things have taken place. Therefore, whoever breaks one of the least of these commandments and teaches others to do so will be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever obeys and teaches the commandments will be called greatest in the kingdom of heaven." The Gospel of the Lord. Scholars say that this is one of the most controversial passages in the Gospel of Matthew. So let's be daring and take a stab at it. Today I would like to consider two points: Jesus fulfilling the law and the famous jot and tittle passage. First, there are some questions about what Jesus means by fulfilling the law. Did he mean doing it perfectly and exactly, word for word? Or is he speaking of transcending and transforming the law? Or is he completing it, or changing it, ending it? The Gospel of Matthew was written for Jewish Christians. Jesus is portrayed as being positive and sympathetic to the law. He is, in fact, trying to restore the original meaning and purity of the law and prophets. Even the Greek word to fulfill means to clarify the true meaning. And that is exactly what Jesus is doing in the Sermon on the Mount discourses in Matthew chapters 5 to 7 regarding the legal matters and other laws. So as I said, Jesus is restoring the original meaning of the law, where it had been obscured through the centuries. In the Gospel of Matthew, to fulfill usually has to do with prophecy. And Jesus' approach to the law is more in the prophetic tradition, in that the Torah is a teaching rather than a law. The fundamental law is the Sinai Covenant and the Ten Commandments, that is, the covenant relationship of love with God. Therefore, Jesus is not talking about the 613 legal codes, but rather God's entire relationship of his covenant relationship in love with his people. Thus, the passage also emphasizes the perennial value of the Old Testament. The law and the prophets are still valid, but they find their fulfillment in Jesus Christ, the Messiah, the Son of God, to whom everything points. Although, as the author of the letter to the Hebrews writes, God spoke in many and varied ways through the prophets, but now he has finally spoken through his Son. Jesus is the Father's last word, which completes and illuminates all that went before. Jesus is the epitome of the two great commandments of the Torah, love of God and love of neighbor, or what St. Paul calls the law of love. So Jesus was not only the epitome of the lived law, he was also the supreme example of Jewish mystical writings, which reveal a profound veneration not only for the Word of God, but also for each letter of that scripture. So, what about the jot and tittle, a phrase which actually originated in the King James translation? The original Greek says iota, which corresponds to the Hebrew yod and k, chorea or point. This chorea or point, the smallest part of a letter, was probably what we call a serif, those little marks on top of words to help distinguish different letters that appear similar. That would be the difference between Times Roman and Arial if you're working on a computer. The translation we have used is more faithful to the original when it says the smallest letter or the smallest part of a letter. The smallest letter, the yod, is the easiest to draw. You simply put your pen on the paper and pick it up again. In fact, the small blot is often forgotten by many people when they are writing, but it is essential for many important words, such as Jerusalem, God's earthly and heavenly city of Jerusalem. The yod often represents simply God's name, since it is the first letter of the name Yahweh. The words of God, which point out his plan, are as unchangeable as his nature itself. When God speaks, not only are the ideas and principles sacred, but even the individual words and letters of those words are sacred as well. The holy letters that compose the Ten Commandments are holy in themselves. It is said that when Moses broke the first tablets, all the letters returned to God by ascending to heaven. The second century theologian Origen of Alexandria thought that Jesus himself is the smallest letter because his name begins with the smallest letter, Yod, Yehoshua. And like the smallest letter, Jesus is the true word of God that will never pass away, and his name will never pass away. Jesus' words about the smallest letter are actually a proverbial mode of expression among the Jews. The rabbis used allegorical and strongly figurative language on this topic. For example, the book of Deuteronomy came and prostrated itself before the Lord and said, O Lord of the world, thou hast written in me thy law, but a testament defective in some parts is defective in all. Behold, Solomon endeavors to root the letter Yod out of me. In this text from Deuteronomy, it says, he shall not multiply wives, but by removing the yod, it reads, he shall multiply wives. Then the holy and blessed God answered, Solomon and 1,000 such as he shall perish, but the least word shall not perish out of thee. And in another example, in Shir HaShirim Rabbah, we find these even more explicit words. Should all the inhabitants of the earth gather together to whiten one feather of a crow, they could not succeed. Likewise, if all the inhabitants of the earth should unite to abolish one yod, which is the smallest letter of the whole law, they should not be able to. And again, Jewish tradition warns of the guilt of changing those little lines which distinguish between certain Hebrew letters, is declared to be so great that, if such a thing were done, the world would be destroyed. So what does all this have to do with us who are living and worshiping God today? If our Heavenly Father cares for the birds of the air, adorns the flowers of the field, counts the hairs on our head, and even considers every letter of his word as precious, how much does he not care for every heart and soul of every person he has created? He wants us to experience the depths of his love for each and every one of us, no matter how hidden or unknown we may be. Also, during this special season of Lent and Paschal time, it is good to pray for our brothers and sisters and of the Jewish faith. Let us respect them and be grateful to them for bearing the salvation of the world. Let us pray that in their faithfulness to the covenant, they may come to know their Messiah. Let us pray for a greater awareness of the unity of Judaism and Catholicism, that we are the fruit of their sufferings and fidelity throughout the centuries. Baruch Haba Bashim Adonai. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord.